This session is going to focus on something that I think is absolutely imperative. And if you don't get this, I will tell you, you'll miss out on a number of opportunities that are coming your way. We've been talking a lot in other sessions about qualities and things you should possess, ways you should go, pathways you should lead. This one is really focused on interviewing. And I want to make this as practical as I can, because if you can learn something about how to interview, then you will understand things that most people don't get. Let me start off by saying, when I was in my 20s, I had my own business, and I had an insurance and investment business that I had built. I hired people. I wound up selling at the ripe old age of 29. And when I sold that business, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I'd really never interviewed for a job. And so I found myself without a job. I had some money, but I just didn't really know what I wanted to do. I had been in the insurance investment business for a while. That really didn't appeal to me, because it wound up being that you had to work in the evening, work during the day, didn't have much of a family life. And I was married at the time. I had three kids. And so it was one of those things where I started looking around for opportunities. And in the newspaper, I found out that Dallas was holding in the Dallas Morning News, they were holding a job fair. And a job fair, for those of you who don't know, is where they bring in a bunch of employers into one location, and they allow you to go and interview with a multiple number of companies. So I went there and I put on my blue suit and my red tie, and as I walked into the building, I wasn't sure what I would see, so you're not sure what to expect. Well, I walked into a sea of blue suits and red ties, people who looked just like me. And so what's interesting is I had owned my own business, I had been successful, I thought anybody ought to want to hire me, and I really kind of had an ego that probably wasn't worth anything. But as I began to start standing in line, I found it pretty demeaning that I'm standing in line waiting for an interviewer. And as I finally worked through 50 people in line, I get up to the interviewer and he looks exhausted and really didn't want to talk to me. And I wasn't really having a good time. And so I did that a couple of times and I was like, this is for the birds. I don't want to do this. This is not fun. So I'm standing in the back, pacing around, trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And I thought to myself, well, experience has taught me that if I can't find a job, I'll create one. What would I be good at doing? Well, I'm pretty good at making presentations in front of people. I'd put myself through school on speech scholarships. So I will teach something. And I thought to myself, what would I teach? And then I looked up and I saw 1,000 people that had no idea how to find a job any more than I did. So I thought, you know what? I'll teach people how to find jobs. That's what I'll do. But then this overwhelming thought occurred to me that I said to myself, wait a minute, I don't know anything about finding a job. How am I going to go teach that? So I left that location and went straight to the bookstore and I bought every book I could find on the subject of finding a job. And I spent a year of my life looking for a job with no intention of finding one. I just wanted to find out how people found jobs. So I began to go back to my roots. I have my master's degree in marketing and management. And so I approached it like any master's degree candidate would. I schematicized it and I got out a plan and I decided, okay, I've got to experiment with some things. So I experimented with things like color and type style and format and layout. Would you believe that color of paper matters? In fact, there's a certain color of paper that will pull 2-to-1 over every other kind of color. Do you know what it is? Anybody venture a guess? I just wanted you to write that down. What do you think? Because I've had people say to me, oh, it's cream. Nope, it's not cream. Red, no, definitely not red. Blue, no, definitely not blue. And as we worked through the colors, what I found out was that it was gray. But not any kind of gray, dove gray. That light, creamy gray. And you could improve your response rates by 10% if it was put on paper that had a watermark. You know, the kind you can hold up and see who the manufacturer of the paper was. So the quality of paper mattered. So it was really, really interesting to me that same words on paper, put on different color paper, can have an impact on people's receptivity to the words. So what happened was I found out, okay, I can get this kind of response. But then as I got the responses, I started getting invitations to come in for interviews. Well, I want to tell you how fun this is, because you probably ought to do it sometime. I was able to go interview with people without any intention of finding the job. Now, how fun is that? Well, to interview with people when you don't want the job, you just want to know how people find jobs. It gives you the freedom to do all sorts of things. And I was into experimentation. I wanted to know. So here's what I did. I started being very aggressive in interviews, you know, just really aggressive, trying to just close it and deal with it. And then I started being very passive. I sat back and just waited till the questions were asked and very passive in the interview. And in one in particular interview, I remember, I just got up in the middle of the interview and walked out to see what would happen. And the guy's chasing me down the hall, trying to, you know, saying, we're not through yet. It's really fun when you don't want the job to interview because it gives you freedom. But as I went through the interviews that I did, I found out that the questions were pretty much the same. People would ask pretty much the same questions. And as after every interview I went on, I really got practiced with the answers. But what's interesting was I became so caught up with the answers that I failed to start learning out how to ask the right questions. I want to have a session with you today on the power of asking the right questions. I'm going to show you something that is so amazing. And if you understand the power of asking the right questions, you win. You ask the wrong questions, you lose. And I think that's the way it is no matter who you are with or who you are trying to learn something from. But let's talk about it in an interview situation and really extend it out to almost any kind of conversation you can have with somebody. Just think about the way an interview is supposed to be. I want you to think of an interview as a sale. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of sale that most people think about when they think of selling, that you're trying to get somebody to buy something that they don't want. I'm talking about a sale where they buy it, they like it, and they would like to repeat it again. So there is a buyer and there is a seller in almost any interview situation. But who is the buyer and who is the seller? If you take a look at it, the person who is interviewing is the buyer, and the person who is being interviewed is the seller. But the roles seem to be reversed because the buyer, the interviewer, is the one who's supposed to ask all the questions, when in reality, it's the seller that's supposed to do that. Now, I want to show you something that's really powerful because if you'll understand this, then it'll change the way in which you interact with people. The buyer is the one that needs to ask the questions in order to be able to learn the needs of the person who's buying. And so you come in for an interview, and they start asking you questions, and that's what I got. I got so many questions coming my way. Questions like, tell me about yourself. Talk to me about your work history. Tell me one time when you things didn't work out and you wish they had of, and what did you do about it? All sorts of questions come up in an interview. But if you can make it your goal to take the interview away from the interviewer, then the whole nature of the interview changes because you wind up finding more about them than they find out about you, and you get them to talk about the things they love to talk about the most, which is them, it changes the way they feel about you. Now, so example, somebody says to you, tell me about yourself. I would look at them and say, what would you like to know? Well, you know, I'd like to know a little bit about your work history. Is work history important here? Well, sure it is. Why? And all of a sudden, they'll start telling you all sorts of things about why work history is important. And then you'll say, I noticed you have some awards over here. What were they for? How long have you been with the company? What do you like about it? What are the things you find most interesting about this company? And pretty soon, after a while, if you understand the mastery of asking questions, what happens is they're talking about all these things and they love you because they perceive you to be a great conversationalist. Now, in this whole idea of trying to find a job, here's what I found out. I wanted to be able to teach people how to get an interviewer to say that I had the job on the spot. Because I figured if I learn how to do that, then I could teach other people to do this. And they would want to pay me to know. So I worked really hard at it. Now let me just ask you, what could you say to someone at the end of an interview that would make them want to hire you? If you understand the power of asking the right questions, it really works. So I experimented with all sorts of things. I experimented with things like, so do I have the job? And they'd say, go sit by the phone and wait until we call, because we have other people to see. Okay, well, that didn't work. So what do you think? Well, you know, I need to reserve my judgment on everything until I've interviewed everybody. And it seemed like everything I touched, I couldn't figure out what it was. And I went home and I was really discouraged. I really wanted to figure this out. And so, for lack of a better thing to do, I turned on the TV. And on TV, I happened to come across a show called Columbo. I don't know if you've ever seen the show, but Columbo, it's been years ago, so most of you young people out there probably don't know what I'm talking about. But if you ever get to see a rerun of it, I encourage you to do so because it follows the same path every time. Columbo is a detective. He's kind of a disheveled detective, stumbling, bumbling detective that's pretty much the smartest guy in the room, but nobody seems to know it. And his job is to get the person to confess. In other words, his job is to get the person to say they did it when they know they did it, but they don't want to say they did it because if they say they did it, they go straight to jail. Now tell me, that's not hard to do, to get somebody to confess to a crime. So at the beginning of our show, you see the crime happens and Columbo appears on the scene and he begins to start talking to the bad guy. And the bad guy, he knows he did it, but he doesn't want to say he did it. And Columbo knows he did it, but he's got to get a confession because many times the evidence is not there. And a confession is always the best way to go. And by the way, Columbo always gets his man. That's the great part about the show. So here's what he does. He goes in front of the guy and he starts peppering him with questions. And the guy is trying to answer. You can see sweat coming down his eyes. And the questions are easy at first. And so he asks a few easy questions and he leaves. Comes back in the middle of the show, asks more harder questions. He leaves. Now, the end of the show, he's peppering with questions, sweat's coming down his face. And just about the time that the Columbo is going to nail him to the wall with the last question, what he does is he says, I don't have any more questions. I just want you to think about that. When someone is peppering you with questions, are your defenses high or low? Very high. The likelihood of a confession is not high. So what he does is he says, I don't have any questions, and he turns his back. I want you to get the physical idea. He turns his back and starts to walk away. Now, what do you, if you're the bad guy, what do you begin to think? This interview is over. Where are the defenses now? Are they high or low? The defenses come way down. And here's what he does on every show. It happens every time. He goes, I don't have any more questions. He turns his back. He walks to the door. And when he gets to the door, he says, oh, by the way, I have one more question for you. And it's always the one where he gets the confession. Now, I want you to think about this. When I saw what Columbo did, I was like, that's it. I figured it out. That's what I need to do. By the way, on any interview, doesn't the person at the end of the interview always say, do you have any more questions? And of course, what I hear people say is, what are your benefits? What are the things you like about it? It's not time to do that. The time is to get the person to say yes. That's what you want them to do anyway. So I want to demonstrate the power of asking the right questions. You ask the right question, you win. You ask the wrong question, you lose. So I went to my interview. We did the standard normal thing. They asked questions, I asked questions. And then they looked at me and they said, this guy looked at me and he said, well, so do you have any more questions? And I asked a few and he says, is that it? And I said, yep, that's it. He said, okay, great. He said, well, thank you for coming in. We shook hands, and so I turned my back. Now, by turning my back, what does he think? That the interview is over. I walked to the door, and I stopped, and I said, incidentally, I have one more question for you. Now, I want you to watch the power of this. He said, what is it? Now, that's something they always say. If you say, I have one more question, they don't ever say the interview is over, no more questions. They always invite it. And so you come right back, and with great bravado, I leaned a little bit over his desk, I looked at him in the eye, and I said, is there anything about me right now that would prevent me from getting this job? It was kind of interesting, because he said, nope, I can't think of a thing. I said, great, when do I start? And he went, Tuesday? And I knew I had it. Now just think about this. You know, if you can get somebody to offer you the job right there on the spot, that's a skill most people don't have. But it's not that it's so skilled, it's the ability to be able to ask the right question that caused the result to occur. Now, was I also prepared if he had said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, there is. Is there anything about me right now that would prevent me from getting this job? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, there is. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm going to pull that chair right back up. I'm going to sit right down because you know what? This interview is not over. My next question is going to be, well, great, what is it? And if we get back in that conversation, it allows me a chance to overcome anything I might have misconstrued And then you come right back to, is there anything about me right now that would prevent me from getting this job? Now, why do I share this with you? I know it's an example of an interview, but you need to learn how to ask questions in such a way that it moves people in the direction you would like them to go with you on. Questions are the key. And in the interview, it's not about the statements you make, but it's always about the questions you ask. And if you could ever get this idea that when an interview happens, it's not just any question, it's the right questions. What questions do I need to ask in order to be able to get the opportunities that I seek? Look at the life of Jesus. How many times did he ask a question when he could have made a statement? And it was in the question that stunned the people around him. And they had nothing they could say. Who here is without sin? Let him be the first to cast the stone. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus knew the power in asking the right questions, and when the right questions are asked, people generally respond in a very different way. I really encourage you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go on an interview. Pick an interview, and you don't need to want the job. Don't even want the job, because it gives you freedom. But prepare for it, and begin to start asking yourself, how can I get to the point where they want to offer me the job? What could I do? And be a Columbo. Understand what causes people to do that. What causes people to want to offer you the job right on the spot? And it's all about how you can get them to talk rather than you. What you can get them to say rather than you, and they'll perceive you're the greatest conversationalist in the world. I want you to write those questions down, and I want you to practice it. And practice it with somebody you know. And after you've had a chance to practice it, I want you to go on an interview. And if it doesn't work out real good, that's fine, because they don't know what you're supposed to do anyway, so you can't mess it up. And I want you to keep going on interviews. No intention of finding a job. Just find out how it works. And it's in that inquisitive mind that wants to find out how things work that they find the answers they seek. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Go find what those steps are.